Welcome to Cyril Talk Tech Chat number 4. This is Michael Loff along with Mike Calvo and a whole group of people joining us.
Welcome.
Well, tonight we are talking about labeling, different technologies that people use to keep track of their items, know what they are, get more information about them. I'm going to demo a barcode reader, which lets you find out about over 1 million products, primarily food items, and that comes in very handy. Matthew's going to tell us about a little device that he's got for keeping track of his credit cards and making it easy to pull out the right one quickly. And Mike's going to show us a device for recording some RFID tags for labeling your garments. So, you know, your favorite slacks and shirts and suit coats and things of that sort. But before we go there, unless you want to do it, Mike, we want to make the big announcement of our 7th birthday. We got some specials.
As you guys know, Cyril Tech is turning 7. We are in our, or actually turning 7th, which puts us, I guess, in our 8th year of business. So, you know, I laugh whenever, oh, you guys are that new product. Man, it don't feel new to me sometimes. But anyway, we've got several specials that Michael's going to go over. I would strongly suggest that folks go out, tell their friends. These specials are only going to be available for a very limited time, very similar to the special we ran last year for the holidays. But I think that you're going to find that we've got some really cool stuff coming down the pike.
Yes, during our birthday, the official birthday, according to Matt, is February 16. So from the week of the 16th through the 22nd, we will be offering 25% off purchases of our software of $399 or more. So if you want System Access or System Access Mobile with the U3 technology to take it with you, you can get all this for 25% off. So, you know, if you want to spend $700, you're going to save just under $200. And this is the only special we can guarantee of this caliber this year. So this is going to be your opportunity to save. You can start as low as $299 and get 2 licenses of System Access. So we don't think there's a better time. And a few other specials we're throwing in there. Anyone first time comes in who's never tried SAMNet before, we're going to throw in a free month for you. So you get 13 for the price of 12 at $129. And existing users, we got something for you as well, that every new person that you refer and comes and tries SAMNet and lets us know, puts your name in the referral box, you will get a free month as well. So that's an incentive because we know many people go out without any incentive and tell others about the network. But here's a chance for you to get a month or two or three free for yourself. So take advantage of all that from February 16th through the 22nd. As we celebrate the Big 7, and you get the goodies. I'm going to let Mike start and talk about his device, which I believe he told me is called a Milestone. Mike, why don't you talk about what you're using for labeling some various items and how it works.
The Milestone 312, as yet unreleased here in the United States, is what I have in my hot little hand. And yes, it is the MP3 player. But the Milestone 311 is the predecessor to this. Now, this product is being sold by ILA, and they have some really cool stuff about this product available. One of the things that I really was intrigued by this product was the built-in RFID reader. Now, Brian from our tech support department is not a Braille user. He uses his Milestone every day for labeling stuff as far as, you know, just remembering things, you know, writing a phone number down, capturing a serial number, whatever. When I got this product, and the reason that we have the product in-house is because we're going to be supporting it at some point very soon with our content, very similar to what we do with the Victor and all that. But I digress. One of the things that I found in this product that it was just a feature that was just kind of mentioned, and really I'm very surprised that ILA has not made a big deal of it, because I think that the feature I'm about to demonstrate to you guys is just so incredible for a blind person who is living independently, who doesn't have necessarily the skills to either use Braille or just wants an alternative method of labeling stuff. When I got the Milestone, I got this little bag in it. I'm like, what is this thing? Because there was a couple of funky looking like credit card things, right? With little holes, with a little hole punch in them. And what I found later is that they're tags that you can hang off of stuff. Then I got these little stickers, and these are like little, oh, they must be about 2 inches stickers, and they're kind of shiny. And I guess you can write on them. And then there was another little thingy here, a little metal thingy that you can that's got a magnet in it that you can clip onto the side of a can. And then of all the things that you'd never expect, there was a button. And it was like a shirt button. Like, what is this? This is so cool. But what is it? So I call them up and I said, hey, guys, what is this? And they, oh, this is the RFID reader. You didn't know about it? And I said, no, I didn't. And what it is, folks, is all of those weird little contraptions I just talked about have a built-in RFID or radio frequency identification tag in their products. They don't have a battery. They are powered actually by the milestone unit as you scan it. So what does that mean? So for example, this button, I can sew this button into the back of a shirt, onto the leg of a pair of jeans or what have you. And on this button, there is enough room for me to tag what it is. Now, the tags are stored in the milestone, but it actually picks up a little signal that the RFID tag sends out. By the same token, I can put a label on a CD, I can put it on a file folder, I can put one of those little metal things on a soup can so I can know what cans are or what soups are. I can label my medication. And you're talking about 40 cents, 50 cents a label. You're not talking about a heck of a lot of money. And they are reusable for like the buttons and stuff like that. For the paper ones that are the stickers, those are probably cheaper. I don't know. I don't have all the pricing. I just know that this is really cool. So I'm going to, for the sake of time, cut my drooling. And I'm going to move on to how this works. I've got in my hand the milestone, and it's a very simple to use device, very sexy looking, you know, very curvy and all that. And on the upper left hand corner, it's got a button that we use to select the various modes.
Audio.
And we're going to go, we've got audio.
Books, alarm, radio, speak out.
And that's the mode we're looking for right there. But if I keep pressing it,
audio.
It goes back to audio, right? So I'm going to go back to speak out.
Radio, speak out.
Okay, now those of you that have seen a milestone before know that on the front there's a couple of buttons. If you press the round button on it, and you hold it down, it's going to start to tick. Okay, you see, it's not a Geiger counter; it's the milestone. Now, what it's doing when it's ticking like that is it's waiting. It's telling me I'm waiting to find an RFID tag. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to wave an RFID tag near the back of the unit. And what I would do is if it were on a shirt, I just hold it like this and I would bring it near my shirts.
New tag found.
And now it found a new tag because I haven't labeled this one yet. So now I'm just going to press the record button and record. Blue Tommy Hilfiger shirt. And that's it. It's that simple. Now, let's say I have the thing in my hand here and I'm going through my closet.
Blue Tommy Hilfiger shirt.
Oh, okay. One more time. Come over here.
Blue Tommy Hilfiger shirt.
And that's it. Isn't that amazing? I mean, and the price on this product is like $370, $380. It's a regular MP3 player. It's a memo recorder. It does Daisy books. It does all kinds of other stuff. And I think it's like $370, $380. Something like that. And this particular feature is just so amazing for labeling stuff, especially if you're newly blinded, if you're newly visually impaired, you know, whatever the politically correct term is this week. It's awesome because here you are totally being independent and nobody is having to help you. And this is really simple. So again, it's the Milestone 312 by Bones or Bonus. They're a Swiss company. I will tell you, as a memo recorder, it is one of the best memo recorders I have ever seen. It does take SD memory. It's got an FM radio in it, and it does several different formats. It's a very cool product. Contact Steve over at ILA, Independent Living Aids, and I'm sure he can hook you up. And if you're in Canada, I know that they got other dealers. Go ahead and give us a call or look on the Cerro Talk webpage. I'm sure we'll have some information in the show notes. So if anybody has any questions, I will field them now, and then Michael can move on with the rest of the tech talk.
Yes, does the milestone have any internal memory in it, or does it come straight rely on SD cards for its storage?
Well, it does have some memory in it, and it actually, unlike the Milestone 311, this one actually has a speech synthesizer in it. So it will actually read HTML documents. It'll read .doc documents, very similar to like the Victor, but really close to the price too. It's smaller than the Victor. It's also louder than the Victor, interestingly enough. So it's yet another alternative for us to pick. But you can expand the memory through SD. And right now, I think I've got like an 8 gig, an 8 or 16 gig card in there. I don't know. It's a card I slapped in there. So, which I've never filled up one of those huge cards. But anyway, that's what it is, and it sounds great.
Hey, Mike, the two questions. The text-to-speech, is it the vocalizer voice? And number two, how useful is this for high-quality digital recordings? Can you do WAV or high-quality MP3?
I believe you can do WAV. I'm not sure. I know you can do pretty high-quality MP3. I mean, this thing is primarily used as kind of a memo recorder. You're not going to... Like the new Plex Talk unit that came out, and we should do a tech talk on these, Michael, at some time, at these kind of portable recording solutions, and maybe you should talk about what you use to record with and that kind of thing. It would be very cool. But like the new Plex Talk, the Pocket Plex Talk or whatever, the it's probably better suited to live recording. This thing, you're going to really be able to use it for classes, for recording that thing. But if you're going to record like a rock band, or if you're going to take it into a public place to record a symphony or something like that, I don't know if it can be done. I think you can hook up external mics to it. I don't want to misrepresent the product. I really didn't study that much about the product except for this particular aspect of it for the tech talk tonight, but I promise I will look further into it.
Yeah, so there more than one voice on that unit?
No, not at this time. It has the one I forget who makes that voice, but
if it's Vocalizer, it's Nuance.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is Nuance voice.
Is it the male or the female?
It's the female. Let me see if I can
probably Samantha or Jill.
Yeah. Well, you know, whatever. It's a very nice sounding recorded woman. You know, text-to-speech woman.
Well, okay, very good. We appreciate it, Mike. And that's a good idea. We'll talk about different voice recorders. A lot of people have asked me what I use to record the 35 interviews at ATIA, which was actually the Zoom H2, which you can get, I think, for about $199. So we'll have to review that and compare it with the Victor and maybe get a hold of a copy of that Plex Talk Pocket and some other tools. And of course, Neil, yours does quite a few different voice recorders over at Blind Cool Tech. Maybe we can get him in the mix. He's played with a bunch of them. So that's a good idea.
All right, Michael. Well, thank you. And enjoy the rest of the Tech Talk, folks. And I'll see you around.
All right. Very good. Thanks a lot, Mike. One of the other things I want to talk about was a new barcode reader that I got. And this is a pretty cool little device. I got it from atguys.com. There's a number of different types. I got one that's omnidirectional, which means you can hold it any number of ways as long as it sees the barcode 12-digit tag. But we'll go ahead and play this for you and let you hear this little 4-minute demo of this device, and I'll take some questions. Hi, this is Michael Off, and I'm going to demo the omnidirectional barcode scanner. There's a number of these devices out there, but you really want one that's omnidirectional, that gives you more latitude in the way that you hold the device to scan the code. And what it is these 12-digit barcodes basically tell you what the item is. And there is a database of 1 million products, mainly grocery food items, not exclusively, but primarily food items. And there's three ways to use this. There is a script that one can install with Windows 7 that will read the information. There's also a standalone program called BARF, short for BART or Bar Finder. But another way, without doing any of that, is to go to a website. And that's what we're going to do tonight, because that may be for some the simplest way. So what we will do is go to www.bcscan.com.
Desktop, list, Windows Internet Explorer.
And this is run by J.J. Meadow, who also sells these, and you can get them over at atguys.com.
Start scanning link.
There's a start scanning link. It's the very first link that you tab to, so I will do that, and that will put me in
Welcome to scan. This site, item into the Plex flow, or read on further options. Editable text, link.
Okay, so now it's there, and I'm going to grab something. Over here, I have a variety of different food items, and some of them, the lovely lady named Sarah, actually scanned in more information. So if that has already been inputted, you'll get more than just what the product is. People can optionally scan in not only the ingredients, but also cooking instructions. So you have the benefit of that as well. So I will turn the item, and eventually it should be
0413580125. Sweet sweet chicken dumplings. 24 hours. Heading directions. Microwave. Key in the microwave safe bowl. Key on high. Cover for 3 minutes or until hot erupt. Stove. Key in saucepan until hot erupt. Heading ingredients. Water. Enriched wheat flour. Chicken. Chicken fat. Modified food starch. Egg powder. Whole eggs. Corn syrup. Salt. Heading nooks. Fully cooked. If you spot an error or have additional information to add, please help us by submitting an update. This item has been scanned 3 times. Editable text. Button. Lookup.
So there you go.
Menu.
See now. You would have, it would have told you it was Sweet Sue Chicken and Dumpling. I think originally it said SW Chicken and Dumpling 24 ounce, but that was it. But because Sarah took the time to type in the additional info, you got that. And I'm sure it read a little fast for some of you, but you got cooking instructions. You found out there was some chicken fat in there. But yeah, I think when you start reading the ingredients and find out what's in some of the food that we eat, it is not quite as appetizing as we once may have thought. But no, it is actually good. It's a nice little snack when you don't have time to cook. So let me get something else here real quick.
0414981496 59. Millville toasted toast, roasted brown sugar cinnamon. 22 hours. Heading directions. Toasting instructions. To serve warm, remove wrapper and place papers in toaster at highest setting. Attempt toaster while heating. Ready in seconds. Also great right from the box. Heading ingredients: enriched wheat flour, corn syrup, sugar, high fructose corn syrup, brown sugar, modified cornstarch, pre-cooked cornmeal, baking soda, salt, cinnamon. If you spot an error or have additional information to add, please help us by submitting an update. This item has been scanned 4 times. Editable text. Button. Lookup. Heading menu. Scan an item. Latest updates. New items with additional details.
So there you go. There's 2 items that, because in the case of those, Sarah took the time. Otherwise, it just would have told you that they were cinnamon snacks and you would have known what it was, but not had the specific info. So very cool. And there are many other less expensive items that one can purchase for that. But I do like that one, the ease of use. So if interested, check it out. They have them at atguys.com, or acquire your own barcode scanner. Go directly to bcscan.com. Or if you use WindowEye 7, you can go to gwmicro.com/sc, where all their scripts are available. Or you can at atguys.com, you can search for the BARF program, B-A-R-F, as in Bar Finder. I pay $2.99 for that. Now, I've since seen it maybe as low as $2.19, although you do have to be careful because some have different configurations. And if you're not careful, you'll get one that's not USB. It's using some other type of connector, because a lot of times they're used in stores to mark items. So you have to make sure you get the right one. So you can certainly buy them on your own and save some money. I've heard of people getting them for $69. So there's certainly options that are less costly. I paid a little more just to support his efforts. They put 1 million products in there and they've spent a lot of time. And he manually, anytime someone submits them, as Sarah and I did 6 products, he reviews them manually to make sure that people weren't playing games and trying to put in fictitious information. So anyway, we'll see if anyone has any questions on this reader.
Yeah, this is Al. I wonder, and maybe he's already looking at this, but it seems to me like maybe some sort of community effort with a big grocery chain would get them some good publicity and get us a nice database.
Well, there is another standalone product that doesn't require that you're tethered to the USB cable that has 2 million products in it, I guess. But I think it's almost $1,200. I may be wrong. I really shouldn't comment on it. I can't speak to all the facts. But some people own that. And of course, like I said, so you can take that to the store, because that's the first thing people said is, well, cool, you can take that to the store. And I'm like, well, I could, but A, at least with mine, I'd have to take my netbook and I'd have to have an internet connection of some form to make it work. Yeah, that's certainly a possibility. And one of those items would not have come up at all because it was a Schnucks brand, which is a chain that's just in the Midwest. And so they put their own brand name on it, although I'm sure it's produced by someone else. Yeah, but certainly you see the potential there. And, you know, hopefully the cost of standalone items where all the data is stored in the device itself so that you can truly take it with you to the grocery store. And imagine that, the independence to be able to, you know, walk through and scan items yourself. And even great if you could get the price as well. Because I know a lot of times we go shopping with sighted folks, and of course, they don't have the patience to maybe we want to really do some price comparisons, and, you know, so that would be very handy. But that is a good idea, Al. Certainly, I think there's room for growth and innovation in this industry, but I think it's pretty exciting that now when you have multiple boxes and cans and really not sure what something is that you have, you know, you could go lay it on your scanner and hopefully it reads enough information. But if this is really built out where you could get recipe instructions and really take it to the next level, I think this is some very innovative and useful technology. Any other questions?
Does it require a CD or anything, or can you just walk up to a Windows machine and plug it in and have it find the hardware?
It works with native Windows USB the way all things should, especially Braille displays. You just plug the thing in. It says barcode scanner, and it just off you go. XP and Vista, I plugged it in three different machines. As always, you should go to the SerialTalk.com show notes, because a lot of times we add things after the show that people will email and give us some other bits of information that maybe we were not aware of. Any other questions?
Yeah, I was just wondering, Michael, you know, obviously we all don't buy the same thing at the store, but if you go to the store and buy some typical things like some, I don't know, Diet Cokes and some things that most of us buy, some bread and milk and all, I don't know, I'm just playing, but if you make your typical grocery run, you come home, are most of those items, you know, part of the million that are in the database? I mean, how helpful is it really when you get home from the store at this point?
I scanned six items, and two of them were not because they were the Schnucks brand. But yeah, most things are in there. Chewy chocolate chip granola bars, 10 ounce. And that's normally what you might find on a lot of these products. Just enough to tell you what it is, but no more specifics. I just demonstrated those two items to show that with initiative, people can expand on the basic information. I did find one error. I think it said it was 12, but it was really 14. So the database is certainly not perfect, but I mean, for just pulling something out and knowing what it is and making sure you get the right items, you know, more often than not, it is going to get it. However, if you think if there's a standalone product that has 2 million and this has 1 million, you know, that's pretty impressive. And also it has the ISBN numbers for books. So if you had a book and you wanted to know what it was, you could scan that and read that barcode and it would tell you what that publication was. So again, there's other ways to get that information, but it's very nice. You can quickly go through your items and, like I said, team this up with a netbook. You could set it on your kitchen table. Great when you get your groceries home, you could use it either if you want to label them or at least use it to sort your items.
Wouldn't that, I guess, as time goes by, do the barcodes like that, do they change for products? So I guess they have to be rescanned.
Well, I think that code will last for the life of the product. So until those said product is discontinued, and I suspect that's what happened with the 12 or 14 ounces. You know, sometimes companies will downsize their product, all of a sudden decide to make it a little bit smaller, keep the same barcode for that product. I don't think there's any chance, to my knowledge, of a code being reassigned to some other product. If it didn't know what the product was, you could take that 12-digit code, copy it from that edit box, go to Google and put it in and learn more information. And a lot of people do that, find out more information about the product and either keep that to themselves or maybe come back and share it and put it in this database at bcscan.com. So sometimes, even if all you get is the code, you can Google it and get a lot more information. So that's a pretty cool way to kind of expand on the use if the pre-configured databases don't have initial info on it. Let Matthew talk about his new device, a gift that was given to him, with buttons that pop out each respective credit card, or maybe I don't want to give it away, but Matt, tell about this new device that you were given and how it is helpful to you for keeping your credit cards separated, which is very convenient when you're out in the mix and want to pop out a given card for a transaction.
Thank you, Michael. Yeah, I got this device last week from a solid friend. He was trying to find something for me for Christmas, and he ordered it for Christmas, but it came in late. This device is no bigger, I'll say about half inch longer than a credit card and about a little wider than your average card. But anyway, the brand is an ACM Federlite wallet, and you can find them on Amazon, and it carries the model I got carries six credit cards. You can put your ID, your credit card, you can even put the Braille on the card and still be able to slide in, but it's basically wallet size, and you got six buttons in the front that are raised, and they got stickers with pictures on them, which, you know, if you got in vision, you probably could see them. But what you do, you got on bottom, you got six slots, and you can slide each card in the slot, and it's best if you slide all six cards in and have it all filled. That way, when you pull one out, you can slide the other one back in without getting it sidetracked with another slot. But anyway, the six buttons are arranged all together. And if you want to see like button one, you just slide forward and your card comes out a little ways. And you just grab it and pull it out and and you know that's your ID. And there is also enough room below these buttons. If you wanted to, you could put Braille, short description Braille, have it like 6 rows. That way you know which button is which if you can't remember which is which. So, but from what my friend told me, the 6-card model is roughly around about $50. And it's an ACM Featherlite wallet or ACM Innovations. And he found it on Amazon, the cheapest place you can get it. So, and they do have one model, I think. They got a 6, 8, 10, and a 12. And I heard the 12 was pretty big.
Sounds pretty cool. Anyone have any questions for Matthew? Okay, hearing none. Do any of you own any color identifiers? Now, I know there you have the Colorino, which is what I have. But there's also one made in the UK called the Cobalt. And the demo implied that it did a little better job with reading than this one. But before I go, I want to see if any of you own any kind of color identifiers. There's also something I know that they have in the phones, like the Nokia phones, the VOIC. And I think it's supposed to do colors, and it plays different sounds that you can kind of use to tell shapes and stuff. It seems to crash my phone. I've never had a lot of luck with it. I'm curious if any of you have any tools for identifying the color of a given item.
I have the Cobalt.
Okay, please talk about that. The Colorino has really a limited set of colors that it tells you. So, in other words, it hardly ever says white. It usually says beige or pale or something like that. So talk about the Cobalt, how well it does with different colors, if you've ever found it to be inaccurate, and you know how much that unit costs.
Okay, the Cobalt costs about $100. I actually got it from blindmysmart.com, and actually he got that from Independent Living Aids, and so you could go to either place. And actually, when I first got it, I brought it down to my neighbor's house, and she was fascinated, and so are we. And we put it on a couple of things, and they said it was not inaccurate. What somebody suggested that you do, and this is what I've started doing because I had no idea how to use the thing. It comes with a tape of instructions, but it doesn't really say how to tell the color of, you know, how to use. It tells how to use it, but doesn't tell how to put something. Anyway, what was suggested to me was you put it the shirt, let's say, on a hard surface like a dresser, and then you put the color identifier next to it, up against it, and it tells you the color, and it'll tell you very dark green or olive green or gray or dark blue or light blue. And I tell you, I had no idea there were so many colors. It's a really, really neat toy. And it's, like I said, it's very inexpensive. And lucky me, I had a couple of people that owned it so that they could tell me, you know, put your clothing on a hard surface so that you can really tell. That way it doesn't. And if it also is a light indicator. If there's any light on and you think that there's a light on, if you hold it up, it'll beep at you to let you know there's a light on, which is really cool. I didn't even know that was a part of that. So it's a really neat little toy.
Colorino as well has a light probe built into it. And of course, the tone ascends to let you know that the light is brighter or something. And you can use it to tell if you've got windows open or maybe if there's a little bit of sun or if the sky outside is really darkening and a thunderstorm is approaching. And I've even found an interesting use. Call me weird, but I found how to use that to detect lightning, and it makes a very weird sound to the device, but someone would say, well, why do you care about that? Well, one thing is when you hear that sound of lightning and then the thunder, you can tell by that, the way sighted folks do, by the time between when they see the flash of lightning and hear the thunder, how close it actually is. Because a mile, if a storm is a mile away, you will see the lightning about 4.8 seconds before the thunder. So every second is 1,200 feet. So that's a pretty cool innovation. The item sounds similar. I'd like to do a side-by-side and compare them. Colorino, basically the same thing. A little device fits in your hand. I will try that idea with the dresser because normally I just hold it right up to the shirt, and maybe that's not as accurate. So that's a good and fair idea to lay it on a flat surface, a hardwood or something, and give that. And I think it was $149. I bought it at the ACB convention in Jacksonville in 2006, so maybe the price has come down. But so there's two devices for detecting color and, of course, light sensors. And having a light probe is very handy, especially if you're the last one to leave the office or something and you want to make sure, or even in your own home, people come over and turn on lights and you don't know it. And you can walk around afterward and make sure, you know, that you got all the lights off, either that or check the switches. But or sometimes you, like I remember my office, it had the switch in the front and the back of the building. So depending on how they were positioned, you know, the switch could either be up or down and the light may be on or off. So you couldn't tell just by looking at the placement of the switch. So both of those, the Colorino or the Cobalt device, are certainly two options for you to explore. And maybe if you go to a convention or some exhibit where these devices are available, you can play with them and kind of do some A-B comparisons. They are certainly the life of the party. I know females seem to love them. I hand them to, you know, a group of girls and they'll just play with the thing for an hour until I grab it back. One time a couple guys playing, well, next thing I know, the guy's got it up to his teeth. And, of course, it didn't say green. It seems to identify teeth as all the same color. And I want to leave the last few minutes for anyone to comment on any other methods that you use for labeling your products, whether you sew tags into them or maybe have some other technology that we aren't aware of. Anything that you're doing that we haven't mentioned tonight for labeling various products, be it clothing or food items or just anything. What about wires? You know, your positive, negative wires on a stereo system, you know, slapping a little piece of tape around it to identify all the positive connectors. Transformers, you know, use a dymo labeler and put on, because all those little power supplies are what some call the wall warts. Man, I've got a ton of those things and you forget what goes to what. If the connector fits and you plug it into the wrong device, you can easily damage it.
This is Terry Miller. I have a question about, you know, CD, DVD detections on what's on, information's on them. Did you say there was devices or is that under development?
I've never tried it with my barcode reader. That's an interesting suggestion. I'll have to do that. One way that people do with music is just to insert the CD into it. And there's, of course, there's online databases, a CDDB or whatever, the compact disc databases that will actually tell you musically what is on it. Now, that assumes, of course, that it is either original copies. Some will do duplicate copies, but generally they have to be the original. So if someone's made you a copy, that information often doesn't transfer.
As far as labeling, you mentioned something about identifying your positive and negative wiring on like between your stereo and speakers or even RCAs. You know, you got colors on each RCA. I found a little trick. If you use one of them two-prong water field detection, the one that got like a 9-volt battery, you can use one end of the wire to find the other end that's the same, you know, same line on the wire, and you tie a knot, and you know which one's positive on each one, or put a little label on the wire in question. Also works on RCAs.
It brails the dollar bills, actually. It's got the 1, the 5, the 10, I think 20, 50, and 100. And you slide the corner of the bill into this slot, I guess you call it, and you press down, and it will actually braille the bill. It's a little hard to read, but it works.
So you're saying you have to know what it is and choose the appropriate. It doesn't read the bill and then put the appropriate label, right? You still have to know what this denomination is, right?
I wish. Yeah, you're right. You have to know what it is.
Yeah, I've seen that on eBay. It's a Mighty Pocket Thriller.
Does it read the mail when you get the mail from the post office?
No, and as you were saying, you have to know what the bill is. You put it in there and hit a special button and it puts tax of 1, 5, 10, or 20, or 50. We can certainly talk about reading. There's certainly a lot of different options for doing that. The Serotalk scanning software, it's very economical, and you team it up with one of these $69 Cano scans, and you have a very affordable way to read your mail and a lot of other information. It's not packed with all the features, if you want to do all that crazy stuff that you can with the K1000 or the Open Book. If you're like me, most of the time you want to put a document in, you want to know what it is. Is this something I need to file and keep for preservation purposes? Or is it just some advertising flyer, something that's useless? I have no need or purpose for this device. Now, certainly some people, if you have the money to burn, or maybe they were given it, some college students were from the NFB, you have the Nokia N82 with the KNFB reader, and that's a very interesting device, and certainly you can read mail, and that's probably one of the smallest, most portable methods for doing so. And of course, there are some, there's the scan read magnify device, which is quite expensive, but something that you can listen to that we talked about at ATIA. It seems to be pretty powerful that some folks like because it also enlarges the print. So if they do have some vision, at least brings it up to a size that they can see as well as read it. And, you know, there's you know, Freedom Scientific has the Sarah device. So there are some other devices that people use for purposes of reading their mail. And, you know, sometimes, not necessarily, but a lot of older folks or newly blinded people just want a device. It's not a complex computer, but they can set it by their door or on a coffee table or maybe the bedroom dresser and just go quickly read their mail. Those are some methods that people are using to do that as well. Anyone else?
I got a Voice It All, which is a color identifier, memo, money identifier, and that's pretty much it. It's called Voice It All, and I think Massey Aid still sells it. That's what I use to identify colors and my money and stuff like that.
Okay, well, talk about it. I was not aware of this device, so for those of us who aren't, talk about it a little bit, how much it costs, and so it does money, color, it does have a light probe as well. Talk about it a little bit, Matthew. That's a very interesting device.
I got this, oh God, I think like in 2001. I'm not sure if they still produce it, but it basically got a little camera-like lens on it, square, and open up the lens, a little slider, and you can put identify colors by putting near it, and it's just basic colors, nothing in between, like ultraviolet or something like that, but like blue, red, and green, and it got a little slide that you could slide your bills in, and you press a button, and it will identify the currency, and sometimes it works perfectly with no problem, and then I even found a dollar bill that said it was 100, but it wasn't. And it also does memos. It'll record memos, so you could do that. And I think the device, I want to say probably was about 150, but I could be wrong. I'm not sure if they still produce it, but it's on Matsy Aids.
Well, money is a challenge, certainly, if it's been handled a lot, but also the currency has changed a few times since 2001, so I would have to wonder how accurate it is. Maybe the device worked great at that time, but they've changed currency a few times to try to prevent counterfeiting, which is an ongoing problem. So that's very interesting. We'll have to look and see if that device is still out there and maybe an option for some people. But anyone else with any thoughts on labeling your products?
Michael, I was just going to quickly mention that kind of the other side of labeling, something actually the Elder Stark picked up that I thought was just fabulous. It's a Brother Label printer and a QL550, which you can plug into your computer. It works with Word, so if you want to, let's say, label an envelope to go out or a box or a package, and you want to make sure it's got the correct address on it and the correct information, you just go into Word, you type out what you want, you highlight it, and you send it to the printer, and out it goes. Prints out a label. The label is already pre-cut, ready to go, slap it on the paper and off it, or on the box, and off it goes. It can also be used to produce very large print labels that you can affix to various objects. So if you're able to read the large print, that's another great way. And the product tends to be pretty, I guess, usable with a screen reader. So that's a great thing from the other.
We're going to put the wraps on this, but we had a lot of good suggestions tonight of different ways. And of course, if there's something that we didn't include and you just your heart is beating thinking, oh, I wish they or they should have mentioned this, please send us an email to resources@serotalk.com. That's resources@serotalk.com, and we'll certainly include it in the show notes and maybe come back and address this again in the future with other products. So a lot of good ideas here. Again, we invite you. We hope if you know some people that have been kind of sitting on the fence, kind of hoping for another big discount like we had on Black Friday, this is as good as it gets. 25% off any purchases of $3.99 or more. It's a great time to jump into System Access yourself or know someone that kind of needs a new screen reader or maybe once understands the need that you need two screen readers at times to access different bits of software and websites and so forth. So there's not a better time. Take advantage of that February 16th through the 22nd. And again, if you want to try SamNet with all the content, describe movies, radio stations, TV stations, email with the third-party accounts, the awesome socializer for instant messaging and staying in with your Facebook and Twitter contacts with family members, friends, and colleagues, all that and so much more, $129 a year. And the biggest thing that a lot of people forget, and we're going to do a demo on, is that with that, you get the ability to remote control or get in to use or help other people, assist them in fixing their computers if they're other SamNet members. And that's a very powerful feature that many people use to kind of help each other out. For as low as starting at $299, you can get two licenses of System Access with free, you heard me, free lifetime upgrades. So I just don't think it gets much better. And don't forget, of course, we do have some hardware. If you are in the market for a netbook, we do have some that we can sell you with the system access already installed and a SAMnet subscription if you like. Or we have the standalone Atom license for $149. I saw a couple netbooks the other day for $250 or $300. So again, now you can have a netbook with speech for under $600 and possibly under $500. That's what we're working for. True integration. So I want to thank everyone for joining us this evening as we conclude the Serotalk Tech Chat number 4. Join us Monday the 16th for our 8th podcast. We got some good stuff coming up. Have an interview with MobileSpeak. This past Monday, spoke with Larry Goldberg at WGBH Media Access Group, and he's going to talk about some of the best devices as we're going to follow up on the digital TV, because even though the FCC says you have until June 12th, stations can go off, and some will be going off the air this Tuesday, the 17th. And that varies from city to city. Here in my community of Evansville, Indiana, all 5 decided that they would either all stay on or all go off. 4 were ready to go. The ABC station said, no, we're going to stay on the air. So the other 4 are doing so, even though they're not happy about it, because the cost to them is between $15,000 and $30,000 for the electricity, especially your UHF stations. So join us for that in our 8th podcast coming up this Monday, the 16th. So until we meet again, stay connected and stay directed, and thank you, as always, for supporting Serotech and Serotalk.com.